How many dentists out there truly care about your whole body health? When you've had a new patient visit, does your dentist do a posture exam, blood pressure test, a tongue exercise review, along with an ultra magnification examination of your teeth and gums? Regretfully, the answer is probably not. And that's why Dr. Shoup finds issues that most dentists will never see.
They noted nothing in the last cleaning other than just the cleaning. And now you brought up even another issue that you showed me on the photographs, that there is a line in the gum line of the enamel on the teeth that are holding and supporting the bridge that had decayed to them. I didn't know that. That was never discussed with me. That was never pointed out with me. And that was the kind of concerns intuitively I was just not feeling comfortable with. And I knew there had to be some other issues. I needed a fresh opinion.
Hear how dentistry is done differently at Microscope Dentistry by Shoup right now on the Dr. Shoup Show. We're online at ddsradio.com. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, hello, everybody. It is great to have you here. Thank you very, very much for deciding to spend an hour with me. This is where you go to learn information you are never going to learn anywhere else. You are going to become smarter, much better informed, certainly a more savvy dental, medical, nutrition, health, and wellness consumer. You're going to have all the information at your fingertips that you need to make really high-quality decisions for yourself. And occasionally, I warn you all that it is a pencil and paper day. Today is pencil and paper day. You're going to want to take some notes because we're going to get technical. I do this because I know that you all get it. And so I'm not worried about it too much. Nobody else is going to trust you with this level of information. I trust you. So this is what we're going to do. You know how it works. Dental School 101. I have a new educational experience in the works for you. I have grown weary, frustrated, tired of trying to educate dentists. To heck with them. I'm going to educate you so that when you go to the dentist and they start to talk about these dental issues, you're going to go, wait a minute. Let me pull this up. Why don't you take a look at this and then we'll have a conversation. This is something that's going to be revolutionary. It's going to be absolutely groundbreaking and you get to be the first people that are going to get up on it. I'm going to tell you all about it. And then ask the expert. Are you a man or are you a woman who's listening to me now? How do you know? Is it because of how you look? Is it because of how you act? Is it because of how you feel? What is it that makes you male or female? Now, everybody thinks they know the answer to this. It's real simple, but I'm telling you, it's significantly more complicated than you would have ever imagined. And you and I are going to have a lesson in genetics today. I'm going to tell you all about it. And you get to meet my buddy John. Now, let me ask you, would you consider that you've had pretty much everything dentistry has to offer thrown at you? Do you have kind of one of everything from the dental smorgasbord? Well, John had, and he had been told he needed more until he heard this program, and it changed virtually everything about how he thought about dentistry. He's going to tell you this really fascinating story. But first, you know those crazy old geologists drilling holes, looking at rocks? They maybe have just answered one of the oldest biblical questions that we have. And I'm going to tell you all about it right now.
Time to go under the microscope.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info.
Well, you know me. If it's old, if it's ancient, if it's kind of cool stuff, I'm all over it. Came across this article. And this was absolutely fascinating to me because I am a big why person. I want to know why things happen. I want to know why things exist. I just don't want to know somebody says something. Let me ask the question, why? there are a number of gigantic, super popular, everybody knows them, biblical stories. These stories are all passed down from prehistoric times. They were told story after story after story, generation after generation after generation. And if you have ever played the telephone game at a party where somebody says one thing to one person and they go all the way around a room, and by the time it gets clear around, it's completely different than where they started, you know what it's like to pass down a story. These geologists were digging around the Mediterranean. And listen to this. Geologists have long known that the Mediterranean Sea, the Mediterranean, became isolated from the world's oceans about 5.6 million years ago, evaporating almost completely in the hundreds of thousands of years that followed. So the Mediterranean Sea, the area over there, formed, and there was a big body of water, but over a long period of time, we know for sure that the Mediterranean basically evaporated, and it was a big area filled with people living in it. Scientists also largely agree that the Mediterranean basin was refilled when the movements of the Earth's crust plates, the tectonic plates, caused the ground around the Gibraltar Strait, the Straits of Gibraltar, the Rock of Gibraltar, allowing the ocean waters of the Atlantic to cut through the rock, separating the two basins and refill the sea. If you go to a map and look at Gibraltar, where the Rock of Gibraltar is, and where you see the Atlantic Ocean on will be on your left, and the Mediterranean will be on your right. Right where the Rock of Gibraltar is, or where the Strait of Gibraltar is, that strait, that connection there, used to be land. There was a wall, in essence, there. Check this out. This is cool. A new study that used seismic data and holes drilled into the rocks at the strait revealed that the ocean water cut a 124-mile-long channel across the strait. The strait is 124 miles. The wall used to be 124 miles across. And the water pressure started to erode and degrade that wall. The team that conducted the study estimates that the water flowed across slowly at first over a period of several thousand years. Although slow in this case is a discharge of water four times the flow of the Amazon. So there was water coming over that wall, like equivalent to four Amazon rivers. But 90% of the water likely came over in a rush over the course of several months to up to a year. Peak rates of water level in the basin have been as high as 33 feet. So the basin rose, the Mediterranean filled 33 feet per day. Now, let me ask you this. If you were living in the basin, or if you were living around the perimeter of the basin, would you consider this the flood of all floods? That's what we think we've discovered here. But rather than rushing over a giant version of Niagara Falls, the flood likely took the shape of huge water ramps several miles wide, descending from the Atlantic into the Mediterranean. The study was led by Daniel Garcia of the Institute in Barcelona, Spain. So we have now pretty doggone good data and pretty good dating of the probability of where did the flood story come from, because all these stories have to come from somewhere. And if you were living in that Mediterranean basin, and if you were there at the time when over a few months period of time, everything you knew went underwater, and then you started to try to figure out why did everything go underwater, and then you started telling these stories to your ancestors, and they started telling the story, and then they started telling the story, wouldn't you come up with a pretty doggone good giant flood story? in the Mediterranean? I'm just saying. I love science. I love making connections. It's the coolest thing ever. Now, up next, let's kick this show into high gear. We are going to launch something new, and it's not for dentists. It's for you. I'm going to tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. This is where you hear about how dental patient disasters caused by other dentists are turned around with successful Dr. Shoup procedures, leading to long-lasting whole mouth health stories. Plus, the doc is providing you the absolute latest insider industry info for biomimetic dentistry best practices. This is Dental School 101 on the Dr. Shoup Show. We're online at ddsradio.com. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, you all know how much I appreciate it when you decide to spend some time with me. Thank you. I'm glad you are here. But I will confess, I am tired, frustrated, hugely disappointed in the education of our dentists today. And so with that, I have decided to continue my quest to educate as many dentists as possible. But I am going to refocus, and I find I get a lot more traction if I educate you as opposed to chasing around all these dentists all over the country and trying to educate them. You know, like the old adage goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. I can give them all of this information, but unless they want it, then they're not really willing to assimilate it. You, on the other hand, want what I'm talking about. You want ultra-high-quality dental services that will last you for years and years and years, not having your dental work replaced all the time. You want ultra-conservative dentistry. You don't want people grinding your teeth down to a little nub and putting a crown or a cap on it. You want to preserve your natural healthy tooth. You want to keep all of your healthy tooth there, healthy, working, functioning, and replace that tooth with something that is going to be protective and complementary to your tooth rather than working in opposition to it. So these are the things you want. You want a really high-quality hygiene program so that you don't have periodontal disease or gum disease. So these are the things I know you want, and I'm happy to provide them. So to that end, just so that you know, if you ever come up to Microscope Dentistry by Shoup and you see me working on you with the microscope, you're going to see a camera hanging off the side of the microscope. That's a video camera, high-def video camera. And I take videos of most of the work that I do. Over the years, I have accumulated hundreds of hours of video. And it's always been a daunting task, and I've only edited the video as I need it for my lecturing or my teaching of other dentists. But now I have enjoined a colleague of mine who is a wizard at all of this editing, and he is going to go back through the archive with me and edit down all of these bits and pieces of videotape of these various procedures. We're going to catalog them into groupings of what they are. And the catalog is going to read something like this. If you want to learn about how the proper way to put sealants on your teeth, you can come to the video, you can come to the website, go to the video, and you can click on, and I will walk you through a tutorial of exactly how to place a sealant on a tooth that will be there forever. It will never leak, it'll never fail, it'll never fall off, and that sealant will protect that tooth basically forever from ever getting decay on the surface that I seal. And since we all know that 90% of the cavities in the world happen on the biting surfaces of your teeth, if I seal the biting surfaces of your teeth, you have a 90% chance you'll never get a cavity. And I'll walk you right through the tutorial. You'll be able to see it. I'm going to start with really simple tooth-colored fillings. There is indeed a science. There is indeed technique. There are indeed non-violatable principles that you have to follow in order for your tooth-colored filling to last for you. Right now, in the U.S., the insurance industry says they will replace a tooth-colored filling every 6 years. Now, they have actuarial tables, and they have done the calculation, and they know that if they've paid for a tooth-colored filling at one time, they're probably going to wind up paying for it in another 6 years, and so there's fillings that fail at 3, and there's fillings that last till 9 or 10, and so they pick the 6. It's all a calculation. But that means half of those people will have their tooth-colored fillings fail before 6 years. I'm talking about having your tooth-colored fillings last 25 years, 30 years, and still be going strong. We're going to go to complicated tooth-colored fillings. How big can you make one of these tooth-colored fillings? When is it exceeding the capacity of the tooth-colored filling material to support your tooth? And now you've got to transition over to, and will be another module for, inlays and onlays, the ceramic inlays and onlays that I do instead of doing crowns and caps on your teeth. We're going to restore root canal treated teeth. You don't need to drill giant holes down in the roots of the teeth. You don't need to put big posts in them, and you absolutely positively do not need to put crowns or caps on every tooth that has had a root canal. You don't need to put a crown or a cap on hardly any tooth that has had the root canal. And then we are going to discuss at length, I'm going to show you video of what it is like. Some of you have seen this before, but what do they do to your tooth when they grind it down for a crown? What does that actually look like? What did you start with, and what are you winding up with when somebody says, well, I want to put a crown or a cap on your tooth? And so we are going to have everything on there to educate you so that when you have these conversations with your dentist and they say, well, we're going to put a filling in, and then you ask them, tell me about the technique that you're going to use when you put the filling in. Trust me, they're not going to have had too many people ask them that question. But then all you have to do is pull out your smartphone, and you're going to have all of this loaded up and ready to go, and you're going to hit the little play button, and they're going to watch me walk through this tutorial that will teach them, and you get to ask the dentist, are you going to do your filling exactly like he did his? And if they go, oh, well, I don't do it that way. I do a different technique or whatever. That's all you need to know to get up and leave. It's a real simple equation. If they go, oh, well, I don't do it quite that way. I do a little different variation, and I do that's all you need to know to get up and leave. If they go, as a matter of fact, let me see that, and I'm going to do it exactly that way because that looks brilliant. Thank you very much. And so that's the right answer. You can stay in the chair. Happy trails to you. Congratulations. But that's what we're doing. Now, by chance, if any of you listening to me have an abundance of spare time and you are an absolute wizard at iMovie on the Mac programs, feel free to drop me a line, because I have more work than my buddy and I can ever hope to tackle. So if you know any walking around, I love the Apple Store, because you go in there and say, well, they're all geniuses at the Apple Store. And I don't know what they were before they were hired. They were maybe a genius too. Who knows? Or I want to go through the training program because I'd like to be a genius too. But anyway, if you are a genius and know all about iMovie and Macs and video editing, feel free to drop me a line at ddsradio.com, call up to Microscope Dentistry by Shoup and go, hey, by the way, I'd like to help you. Any and all people will be taken and embraced, and it'll be great. Okay, so there you have it, a brand new program that we are organizing it as we speak, and we are going to be able to have this at your fingertips. To heck with the dentists, you're the one that's going to be the smart one in the group. As always, you're my listener. Of course you are. Now, up next, Shania Twain said it best. Man, I feel like a woman. I'm going to tell you all about why you feel what you feel right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. It's kind of nice to have industry experts on demand.
Let me make one thing clear to you. I need professional help.
Your questions are welcome whenever you want to submit them. Like if you think of a question while you're eating breakfast or during your lunch hour, or even wake up at 3 a.m. with a burning question, go to ddsradio.com and ask your dental or whole body health questions. This is Ask the Expert on the Dr. Shoup Show. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Man, I feel like a woman.
Well, it's so good to have you here. I appreciate it. And this came to me because of a huge debate that is going on nationally, and it has become focused on in Indiana by the Indiana legislature. And this is all revolving around the issue of transgender kids being prohibited from participating in sports. And it is absolutely the one of the most supreme examples of people getting involved in a debate and legislators passing laws that they know absolutely, positively nothing about. And that's dangerous. The Indiana legislature and any other legislature that tackles this is in no way, shape, or form equipped to understand the complexity of the topic that they're talking about. And I know they'll all argue, well, we're smart people, we're business owners, we're this, we're that. You're Neanderthals, for crying out loud. You haven't taken a chemistry class, you haven't taken a biology class, you haven't taken any of these advanced courses in genetics that helps you understand what in the heck is going on with these people, because there's nothing that these transgender folks can do about it, because I'm going to tell you, and this is why you need pencil and paper right now. The governor did the right thing for a change and vetoed it. But all of the slack-jawed, mouth-gaping legislators that we have said, well, we're going to come back and override that. It is absolutely asinine. Let me give you a primer in what we know. We know that there is in our mammalian species a male and a female. We also know that the male and female is coded genetically on our DNA by an X and a Y chromosome. We all know that. And that's where basically the education of most people stops. If you are one set of chromosomes, you're a male, and if you're one set of chromosomes, you're a female, and that's it. But that is the absolute most egregious understatement of understanding that you could possibly have in this topic. What we're talking about is a topic called epigenetics. Epigenetics, by definition, it's a noun, by the way, the study of changes in organisms caused by modification of gene expression rather than alteration of the genetic code itself. Epigenetics has transformed the way we think about the genome. The word epigenetics is of Greek origin and literally means over and above the epi part, E-P-I, over and above the genome. Epigenetics is the study of changes in gene function that are heritable and that are not attributed to the alteration of the gene sequence. So each of us has a gene sequence, A, T, C, and G, the four amino acids that build a DNA double helix. And as those pairs are lined up in order, they sometimes in the middle of the nucleus of the cell, in your body, in every cell in your body, this happens, that the DNA in the nucleus unravels, and then there is a compound called transverse RNA, transcription RNA, and there's a compound called messenger RNA that takes the code from the DNA, because the DNA is like the master file, you can't touch it, and then these other RNAs go out into the cytoplasm of the cell and do things with that code. Primarily, they make proteins, and the proteins then are what you and I call the chemistry of the body. They make hormones. The other factor of this is how those little RNAs read the DNA has a lot to do with environment, has a lot to do with the conditions that the cell is in, has a lot of variables attached to it. That's one phase. Phase number two, when we are conceived, when we are a minuscule, tiny, tiny little 4, 8, 16, 32 cell embryo, by the end of the first trimester, all of our organ systems are pretty much formed. The heart's there, the liver's there, the kidney's there, the brain's there, the eyes are there. Everything is there at the end of the first trimester. From the end of the first trimester till birth, primarily it is growth. These parts all get bigger. But one of the things that happens is the wiring gets completed. So when you are this in the first trimester, you will have ovaries. If you are going to be programmed for a woman, you will have testicles if you are programmed for a man. But how that all gets wired doesn't happen till later. There's the rub. Epigenetics looks at what happens to people when their DNA code that says they're supposed to be male somehow or another gets mixed up, weirded out, wired incorrectly, and now this human being expresses itself, thinks of itself, identifies itself not as a female, like the DNA would say, but as male, because the wiring is fragile. The wiring can change. Probably one of the best epigeneticists right now is Carissa Sanbonazza. She is a researcher at the Los Alamos National Laboratory. She is a PhD in astrophysics, and she is a PhD in astrobiology. She looks at life form. She is interested in the minuscule parts of how you and I come together. This is a brilliant woman. You can find her on TED Talks if you want to. Look up on your TED Talks. Epigenetics, and listen to these people. What they're saying is this. These individuals who identify themselves as trans, transgender. Look, I was born a guy, but there's nothing about me in my brain, in my being, in how I look at the world that says I'm a guy. Everything about me internally, my wiring, my hormones are all designed to be female. And that is really what absolutely happens. There is a really good study on a topic called DNA methylation. Methylation is a epigenetic mechanism involved in the transfer of a methyl group onto the C5 position. Let me read this to you, and you tell me if any Indiana legislator can read this and know what they're talking about. In the mammalian genome, DNA methylation is an epigenetic mechanism involving the transfer of a methyl group onto a C5 position of the cytosine to form a 5-methylcytosine. DNA methylation regulates gene expression by recruiting proteins involved in gene repression or by inhibiting the binding transcription factors of the DNA. That's what you have to learn and know in order to be able to make a formalized opinion about transgender people. And there isn't a single one of them down there sitting in any of those seats that can tell you what the hell I just said. And that's what really disgusts me, because they are taking it out on these people that are as normal as you and me. They just have a different methylation pattern that makes them have this mismatch between what their gene says they are and how their body expresses it. They're not doing this on a lark. They're not doing this for fun. These people, transgender people, are tortured people, and they're trying to get some relief. And our legislatures aren't helping at all. Can you tell I'm passionate about this? Because when people try to, the most dangerous person in the world is a person who thinks they're smart and they're not. Think about that. Now up next, you get to meet my good buddy, John. If you think you've had everything dentistry has to offer, trust me, he's going to open a whole new chapter for you. It's fascinating, and he'll tell you right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. Hundreds of Dr. Randy Shoup's patients have volunteered to be on the Dr. Shoup Show. Why? Because there's a passion to tell their story. And every story has a similar tone.
I am just a fan.
There's simply no other dentist in the Midwest that approaches dental care like Dr. Randy Shoup. We're online at ddsradio.com. And now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it's great to have you here. Thank you very, very much. I always appreciate it. And if you are a veteran of listening to the program, you know this is my favorite part. I get to bring to you friends of mine from the office. I get to introduce them to you. And in today's program, it's particularly heartwarming because you get to meet my buddy, John. John, how are you, man?
I'm doing really well. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. And the other thing about John's generosity, he's at my favorite store right now as we are speaking. He's at Menards. I told him just don't go near the cutting board. I don't want, you know, them firing up that radio alarm saw in the middle of our conversation. But thanks for carving out a few minutes for me while you're in the middle of my favorite store, Menards. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, if you don't mind retracing a little bit of history, how was it that you came to find me in the first place?
Well, I heard you on the radio, and it was on a Saturday morning, and I was in the kitchen. I was doing dishes and stuff, and your philosophy and your approach about dentistry is so different than anything I've ever heard, ever. And I'm 60 years old this year, so I've been around for a long time, and I've had my fill of cavities, crowns, root canals, all that. And I'd never heard anybody talk about dentistry the way you did. It was really intriguing to listen and hear that approach.
Well, I thank you very, very much for A, being a listener, and B, being intrigued enough that, the weird guy on the radio, my gosh, I think I'll give him a call and go up there and see what's going on. Once you came up, once we got together and we met and we did our consult, our exam and consult, how did things go for you?
Everything went really well. And, part of how I got to you is in the last 5 years, I've had three teeth that were pulled. They would keep breaking. And my dentist, it's not that it was a bad experience with him, not at all. They're very professional, very nice, but he couldn't tell me why my teeth were breaking. It was just more left to, it's just genetics. If I asked him, am I grinding my teeth at night or are they doing something like that? And he said, no. And he was looking to get into implants. And I really felt the pressure that I was a vehicle to help him get there. I really was disheartened about dentistry for a while because I have these issues, but I don't feel like they're really being solved with the best way for me. And then I have bonding on the front of my teeth, and I've had it on for gosh 40 years. And I didn't realize, but a cavity got behind one of the bondings and was eating apart my tooth, but you never could tell and see it from looking at it. And I was eating something, and it broke out. And I think what I have maybe only 10% of teeth showing above the gum line. And so I needed to get it fixed, but I had that instant feeling that, okay, here goes. I'm getting another tooth pulled, and you have to go through all that. So I said, well, I need to go to a dentist. So that's why I called and made the appointment. And I was absolutely shocked that you were able to save my tooth. I didn't have to have a pulled. And then it also kind of made me upset because I had three other teeth pulled that had far more tooth left than this last one that you fixed for me.
I was able to save one that was in far worse shape than the other three that you'd had removed.
Oh, absolutely. The other three probably had at least 30% or 40% more tooth to work with, but they just kept pulling. And then when high microscope photographs that you're able to take.
Sure.
You were able to show me, explain to me how old fillings that I've had for decades go silver and how it affects the tooth. And you showed me all the little cracks in my tooth. And it was very easy to see why my teeth were breaking.
So what was happening to you if somebody had just taken some time to give you some high magnification microscopic photographs, explain to you the process, you would have understood what was happening as opposed to being completely in the dark and thinking, well, the dentist says I have to have the tooth taken out, therefore that's my only option. You understand now it wasn't your only option.
No, it wasn't. And
I'm sorry. I am really, really sorry. That's a horrible place to be.
Yeah, because I still, now eventually I'll get implants put there because I have no choice now. But I know that now I won't ever have to have another tooth pulled or another crown because there's other options to save your teeth.
Absolutely, positively. So from what we've done so far, I mean, obviously, it's a radical, you know, when you said you heard me and I was talking about dentistry differently than anybody ever had, I was really, really radical about it. And here I go, and I've restored a tooth that everybody else says had to come out. How's the tooth been doing?
Oh, it's doing great. And I'm still amazed that you have so little tooth to work with, and how you're able to rebuild it. It amazes me. And but no, it's great.
And so it functions, it looks good, it feels good, you don't think about it, you just it's a new tooth again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that's so the other ones, they had the ones that cracked and were broken. You mentioned about having the silver fillings. You had had a bunch of silver fillings as a kid, right?
Yeah.
And so with those, here's my mind's going with this. There's so many people that are listening to this going, that's exactly what happened to me. Holy cow. I had fillings, and yes, the dentist said I didn't have a choice. I had to have a crown. I had to have the tooth extracted. And it's just, and then the other thing that throws a really kind of wrinkle in it is the dentist you were going to was learning and trying to get into doing implants. And man, would that make you suspicious that somebody would be willing to sacrifice your tooth in order to support and promote an expansion of their business model.
Yeah, and at first it didn't feel that way because, like, when they took the first tooth, I just trusted them that they were doing what my best interest and what needed to be done. But it wasn't until after the second, third, when they kept mentioning about the implants and let's get that going, that's when it really kind of run through. What's going on here? What his motive was?
Wow. Well, I am absolutely thrilled and delighted that we found each other, man. I really am, and it's always fun. I teased before I brought you onto the program earlier that I said, you know, you to my listeners, you've heard a whole bunch of stories, but you've never heard this story, and I wanted you to bring this story yourself about, you know, how feelings almost set up in terms of removing teeth that were clearly restorable, but just for other maybe nefarious reasons, they thought, well, we could do implants better than the regular. But I really thank you for bringing that story, because I know there's people that are listening and they go, that's me. That happened to me. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And one other thing.
Sure, man.
I also had never realized this, and I'm sure a lot of listeners know, is how much insurance has to play in all this and some of the procedure work that's done. And it's not always what's best for the patient is what's being done. And I really feel 100% confident that you're doing the best for what is best for me, not what insurance company wants to do or what they want to pay for or other reasons for yourself that dictate what's done in my mouth. It's what's best for me.
Well, John, I truly appreciate that, and I'm honored that you think that way. And yes, that's how we've always operated. It's not about me. It's not about the insurance company. It's what's in, and that's the oath that we all take when we graduate. We are to do what is in your best interest, to the best of our ability. And yes, I've never let any of that other stuff get in the way. So thank you very much for sharing. John, you've been great. I really appreciate it.
You are very welcome,
my friend.
And I'll be seeing you soon.
I'll see you soon, and enjoy Menards. I'll probably be there later.
Okay.
I'll see you in the paint aisle, Betty. I'll see you later. Okay. All right. Thanks, man. All right. Bye. Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed listening to that as much as I always enjoy bringing this information to you. This is what I love about you guys. I know that I can bring you very complex things, and you can absorb them, take them under your wing, take your notes, and you can always go back to ddsradio.com where you can find all of this information in the archives. Don't worry about it. In terms of writing everything down, there's always a ready source for you. If I can ever be of help to you, up at Microscope Dentistry by Shoup. If you'd ever like to see what dentistry looks like under a microscope, I'm the guy. So, until you and I have a chance to chat next time, be sure to brush and floss.
Keep on smiling, 'cause when you're smiling, baby, the whole